Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host. And today, one of the things that I'm thinking about and wanted to discuss with you a little bit here is this idea of discernment, or how do we figure out what ideas we should actually endeavor to try to put into action. One of the challenges that I face is that I have a ton of ideas. And sometimes I feel like that it is just this overwhelming avalanche that never stops. You may think, and a lot of people think, you know, ideas are a great thing. But the problem with having a ton of ideas is that you have to learn how to sort through them, because not all ideas are created equal. And some ideas never need to see the light of day. They never need to actually be something that even get to the point of sharing with other people. But I jotted down a few thoughts here on this idea of discerning and sorting ideas, and I wanted to share them with you because I know not everybody has that problem. Not everybody has a ton of ideas, but maybe the few that you do have, the process or the way in which I'm learning to work through them might be able to help you. So I want to share that with you today. The first principle in sorting through ideas is to put them down on paper and actually capture it. For me, I have a spiral notebook that is the place that I normally try to capture my drawings, my thoughts, my ideas, and it is a notebook that's special. It's not just a three ring notebook that has a ruler paper in it. It's a special notebook, and so it's one that's made for sketching, and it has quality paper in it. And when I'm putting down my thoughts and my ideas, I use a quality pen, and I have a particular brand and kind that I like. And so putting those down on paper for me is important, because if I get to that point, this is something that's important enough that I actually capture it. I want to make sure that it is done in a way that I enjoy. And so whatever works for you, but scratching it down on the back of a napkin is not a way to keep it in an enduring fashion. And so I would just encourage you to take those ideas and put them in a place that they can be reviewed. I have, I don't know, probably 10 or 11 maybe of these notebooks that I've sketched in and written in and thought in over the years. And it's amazing to me to go back and review some of those and to see the things that I was thinking, you know, 15, 20 years ago, because most of them I've forgotten about now. And so it's a great way to go back and review, because not all ideas that you capture on paper are going to end up coming into reality. But there may be a seed there that later on will be a help. So, first thing, capture it. Second, you need to put it on the back burner for a season. And I know not every idea may need to be put back there. But for me, it's important to just kind of let something simmer. I didn't used to do this. You know, if I had an idea, it's like, okay, let's try this today. But I found that that process of maturing in an idea helps it become better, not worse. I've never found a time that, you know, I didn't put that into action 6 months ago and now it's just not even actionable anymore. Instead, what I find is that if I put it on the back burner for a season, I just let that kind of simmer. That idea may have elements in it that other things will fit with in a later way that they wouldn't before. And so allowing an idea to mature, allowing an idea to develop further is a process that I think for me has been incredibly helpful, rather than in just trying to jump into whatever new idea I have without having given it time to mature and see, you know, if this is a good idea now, it'll probably still be a good idea 6 months from now. And if it's not a good idea now, it's going to be even more apparent 6 months from now that that's the case. And so put it on the back burner for a season. And what that allows you to do is also give you time to be able to vet this idea. So sharing this idea with others during that time and saying, hey, what do you think of this? We just got back from a fall retreat at Mode Camp. And wow, just a special time. I think one of the things that I just enjoy so much about the fall retreat at Mode is that it is simple. We have a big fire. Everybody sits around the fire. And there's just discussion late into the night on Friday night. We get up, we eat breakfast on Saturday, and then sit around the fire again, and that's it. There was a football game. I refereed a football game this year rather than played because I had dropped a tree on my foot, and I'm still injured from that, and so that's another story. But I participated in the football game that happened in the light rain, and other than that, it was just sitting by the fire, having one conversation after another with many, many dear friends. But before I came to the Mode Retreat, I had printed out a typed up version of an idea that I had probably it's been at least 10 months ago, and I've refined it. I've worked on it. I've thought about it more, and had the opportunity to share this with a few trusted friends there at Mode. And so that's another thing that you can do if you are backburnering this for a season, is take time to really vet this with others and see if this is really something that others would see value in or would see as something that could be pursued. And so getting their input, I think, is the next really important step in sorting and discerning. I remember a few years ago, I was talking with a lady who was now a business coach with SCORE and Service Corps of Retired Executives, I think is what it stands for. And we were looking at a business idea, and she was advising us on this and told a story in the course of this. And she was encouraging us just to kind of wait and build a coalition of support for this business idea that she had, that we had. But in the story she told us of a time that she didn't do that. She had this idea for a greeting card company, and she was going to start making greeting cards and selling them, and just was so thrilled with this idea that she just went right out and found prices and didn't take time to build any kind of coalition around this. She just, it's a great idea, let's do it. And so went out and spent $5,000 of her own money, which was a lot more money back then. And she spent all this money on these greeting cards, and nobody wanted to buy them. And so she was stuck with this massive pile of cards for which there was no real market except the one in her head. And so she was telling us this story saying, if this is really a good idea, there will be other people who will buy into this. And if they don't buy into it, then maybe you need to take that as a sign. And maybe this is something that isn't a good idea. Because if they don't actually buy the concept, they're probably not going to buy the card. And I think that's a really good way of understanding this idea of sorting through ideas by sharing them in a way that you can hear people's honest feedback. Sometimes, they'll just give you feedback because they're your friends and they're nice people and they don't want to hurt your feelings. And so they're not really going to tell you what they think. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And so really digging deeper in that and getting to, okay, is this something that I need to do? Is this something that has real value? And then listening to those disparate voices, because not everyone is going to tell you that. Most are going to just say, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, you should do that. But there are some people that will at least share the seeds of concerns or things that you need to look at further before you take the leap. The next thing that I think you need to do in discerning an idea is MVP it. And I'll say it that way because the idea of a minimum viable product, not most valuable player, is one that's been incredibly helpful in my life. You know, there are a lot of times that doing something poorly is necessary in order to do something well. And so rather than spending all this time in research and development on producing the perfect widget, and then after you have done that, then going and fashioning the perfect widget and making sure that it's exactly perfect before you bring it to market is very time consuming. And so instead of doing that, just get something that will actually get this to market. We'll actually put this idea out there and see if people will actually buy it, because that's the test. Will they use it? Will they buy it? Is this something that adds value to their life enough that they're willing to part with some of their cash for it? If they're not, then you don't have a product. If they will, then you can make it better and go back and retool it, and then you've got something. And so the idea of minimum viable product and then piloting it to see, is this something that actually will work before you spend all the time finishing that product to the level that is actually what you would want it to be, I think is really helpful. And I think it's true in most ideas that you can spend enough time to be able to actually get it to the finish line and get it there without necessarily putting the finishing touches and all the little details on it. And having a minimum viable product just enough to get there will tell you a lot about whether or not this is something worth doing in an ongoing way. For me, that was true with this podcast. I listened to some of the early episodes of this podcast and they were horrible. Just really, really bad. I wasn't editing at all. It was just me sitting down and just completely and totally blathering for who knows how long. And you know, some of you may still feel like that's what this podcast is, but it has actually gotten better because I do occasionally have some notes, having at least a little bit of a plan, knowing kind of where I'm going, and knowing the target areas that I'm going to be thinking about or talking in is not something that I had at the beginning. What I found after I had done the podcast poorly for a little bit is that I actually had some market research. The incredible gift of being able to see, okay, what are the top 10 episodes? What are people listening to? And what are the commonalities between these? And there were some details that began to emerge from that. And that I began to see, these are some things that people are actually finding helpful. These are things that I could do more of. If I had waited to do a podcast until I actually did it well, Gleaning and Gathering never would have happened. And so I think you do have to do things poorly before you can do them well, but having a minimum viable product and then piloting it is a great way to discern, is this something I want to do more of? Or is this just something I need to pull the plug on and it was a great idea that wasn't meant to happen? I think the next step in the process, though, is to actually evaluate. So the whole PWR, plan, work, reflect, is really, really helpful because not all ideas are good ideas. And if you look at the postmortem, so to speak, on the pilot that you did and say, you know, that's really not something that I think I need to be doing right now, that's okay. Your ideas are not you. Your ideas or the things that you're trying to discern are independent of you. And so not all ideas are good ideas. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person because you have bad ideas. But it does mean that if you can be honest with yourself, if you can hold those with an open hand, there's a lot of cul-de-sacs that you're not going to get stuck in, a lot of dead-end streets that you're not going to end up being stuck there. Because you can honestly say, you know what, I learned from that, but I'm not going to do that again. The other thing, too, is that you can also see in those times of reflection that not all good ideas are good right now. You know, there are ideas that I've had, and as I've gone through my sketchbooks periodically and looked over those ideas from the past, occasionally, you know, there'll be one that I'll pull out and think, I think this might be a good time to try this right now. There are other ideas that may have happened years ago. I had an idea for it, but may not even happen in my lifetime. And I was talking with Jeff Keaton, one of my mentors and friends, last week, and he was reflecting on how a lot of the dreams that his father had have been fulfilled through his children. You know, he said, you know, we used to go around as the Keaton family, and now Kim and Phil Collingsworth have taken that dream of being a singing family to a whole nother level. So, you know, my dad had a vision and a dream of planting churches all throughout Virginia, and didn't happen in his early ministry, and yet through his son, Troy Keaton, that's been able to happen. He said he had a vision of planting Christian schools and Christian education, and through Renew a Nation, that's happening around the nation in places far beyond what he could have originally thought or imagined. And, you know, sometimes that good idea that you have, it may not even happen in your lifetime. Like David and building the temple, you know, it could be that you plant the seed and you develop the resources that your children or generations after you will use. And I think for me, you know, there are a few of those things that I see. You know, these are bigger than me. They're bigger than what I'm going to be able to accomplish in my lifetime. And so having those ideas, though, and putting the seeds out there means that it could be that I have an influence in another generation, and that my children, or that even my children's children, may be putting some of those into action. And so capturing those, putting those down, discerning, and seeing that not all good ideas are good ideas right now, I think is really helpful. One of the last things that I would say about this is that saying yes starts by saying the holy no. So in order to say yes to a particular opportunity, you have to first start by saying a holy no. There are things that I am not going to do, and I'm not going to do them so that I will have the time, the energy, the focus necessary to be able to say yes. One of the things that we've said yes to for the last few years is Mode Camp. And I mentioned Fall Retreat earlier, but you know, I wanted to come back to this because as I was going through one of my sketchbooks just before Fall Retreat, I came across a reflection that I had written this past August, in an early August morning, and just wanted to share this with you. It's entitled The Nodes of Mode. This past week has been a special time for me and for our family. Good fellowship, good food, good messages, a great time. The thing that I relish most about Mode is the time that I have just to be. It is a beautiful morning, slightly humid after the rain, and an abundance of sunshine is streaming into the tabernacle, accompanied by a slight, refreshing breeze. The birds are singing. The trees are growing. People are reading the Bible and seeking God in this early morning stillness before breakfast. It is also rich with tradition and meaning. How many generations have gathered on these same grounds? How many people over the past 76 years have awakened to these same sights and sounds? As they have gathered to tend their souls, what battles have been fought? What lessons have been learned? Lessons that changed direction for whole generations. How many have followed God's call, confirmed in this place? How many have yielded to God's voice here, only to be led there? How many are the nodes of Mode? If we could see what heaven sees, what places and people have been blessed by the deep work that has been fashioned in this place. How delightful it will be to finally see the front of the quilt God has been making through the threads of lives sewn together in these moments. The people have grown like the trees, year by year, almost imperceptibly. Yet now they tower as mighty oaks of righteousness, saints made strong through faith in God and obedience to His word. To some, Mode may be just a camp, but to me and to our family, it is so much more. It is a people, and it is a place to belong. One of the things that I think is so important about discernment is that we have people around us who are willing to tell us not just what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And that's one of the reasons why I felt so blessed to be able to entrust at least one of these ideas that I have about our future and things that we may be involved in or doing to a group of friends that are able to see the big picture. You know, Scripture tells us that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And one of the reasons is that I can't see all the angles. I don't know what I don't know. And so God gives us the gifts of friends, people who care about us, people that are willing to take time to reflect, to pray with us, and together we can see in a way that alone we cannot. And so as I'm sorting ideas today, again, and looking through the pile and seeing, is this something that God wants me to look closer at? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people that God has placed in our lives providentially, and the ways in which He has woven our lives together. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that we had this past weekend to just be. The simplicity of sitting around a fire with friends and interacting and listening and being together, it's just been so refreshing. I hope you have something like that in your life. I hope you have people in a place that you can trust and with whom you can discern what it is that God may be calling you to. Because the alternative is just ending up in my own echo chamber and doing the things that sound good within my own head. And the challenge with that is that, again, I don't know what I don't know. I'm thankful for what God has given us. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a little tiny part of God's great big work in the world. And I hope that today, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, as you are discerning, as you're sorting through the ideas that you're facing in your life, that maybe some of these principles might be helpful to you as they have been to me. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.